it's always quite emotional when you hear that Joseph speaking to his brothers for the first time and then seeing his father. So my message today is based on that. And before I get into the message, let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word today that you have given me to give to the people. And I pray that you will open our eyes so that we can see the wonder strings from your Torah of this day, that we can put them into perspective as to what is happening in our world today, and that you can be with us and show us that you, Abba Father, are our rock and you are our Redeemer. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. What happened then? Didn't open. So, my message is titled, The Wagons Are On The Way. And that's taken out of our reading today from Bereshit 45:16-28. So it says, the report of this reached Pharaoh's house. Yosef's brothers had come. Pharaoh and his servants were pleased. Pharaoh said to Yosef, tell your brothers, here is what you are to do. Load your animals, go to the land of Canaan, take your father and your families and come back to me. I will give you good property in Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Moreover, this is an order. Do this. Take the wagons from the land of Egypt to carry your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Don't worry about your stuff, because everything good in the land of Egypt is yours. So the sons of Israel acted accordingly, and Yosef gave them wagons as Pharaoh had ordered, and gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave a set of new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 7.5 pounds of silver and 5 sets of new clothes. Likewise to his father he sent 10 donkeys loaded with the finest goods Egypt produced, as well as 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread and food for his father to eat on the return journey. Thus he sent his brothers on their way, and they left. And he said to them, don't quarrel among yourselves while you're travelling. So they went up to Egypt, entered the land of Canaan, and came to Yaakov their father. They told him, Yosef is still alive. He is ruler over the whole land of Egypt. He was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. So they reported to him everything Yosef had said to them. It was only when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent to carry him that the spirit of the Ruach of Yaakov, their father, began to revive. Israel said, enough, my son. Yosef is still alive. I must go and see him before I die. That to me is just so overwhelming, that he thought he'd lost his son and he was gone for good. But not only that, Yaakov had spent many years thinking that Yosef was dead. So Yaakov had a predisposition for doubt. And this was caused by all the voices of the past. This disposition is in each one of us. If we are told something positive about ourselves 100 times, we just take it for granted. But if we are told one thing that's negative, we seem to hold on to it forever. It will raise its ugly head and tell us all sorts of things about ourselves that we don't believe, and doubt will always raise its ugly head. So if we look back over the background of Yaakov, we see that he had a tendency to believe bad news, and it started very early on in his life. His mother would tell him, your father loves Esav more than he loves you. His mother would tell him, Esav is going to kill you. His mother would tell him, your father and brother are in a plot to leave you out of their inheritance. His uncle would tell him, you have 7 more years before you get Rachel, but in the meantime, take Leah. Your uncle would tell him, you are a conniving cheat and I'm going to kill you. His wife would tell him, you hate me, you have no time for me. His men would tell him, Esav is waiting down the river to kill you. His sons would tell him, we found this bloody coat. with Yaakov assuming the worst, the seed of doubt grew and implied that Yosef was dead at the paws of a wild animal. Have we heard all this before? Over the last few weeks, we've heard all of it, haven't we? All of these voices over the course of his life and over all the situations that Yaakov found himself in predisposed him for huge doses of doubt. Then we add into that the components of a hugely dysfunctional family. Yaakov, as a child, had four mothers. He didn't have one mother, he had four. He lived in a tent full of boys that had dark markings on their character. There was the motivation of jealousy and constant conflict in the home. The planned murder by their brothers. All types of immorality that had been expected on the streets but not in the home were happening among the 12 brothers. I might be full of doubt and unable to believe any good news either if I had to live in that environment. But all the time, doubt works in small doses. But huge doses of doubt will overdose your spirit and kill your faith. And that's why Shaul gave us these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. He said, "For although we do not live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way, because the weapons we use to wage our war are not worldly. On the contrary, they have Elohim's power for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of Yehovah. We take every thought captive and make it obey the Messiah. And when you have become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience." It is crucial that our mind be protected from the strongholds of the enemy. Now, the enemy is attacking us left, right and centre at this very moment, just with what we hear in the mandates. It is with great certainty that there may be some of you who are dealing with voices that continue creeping out of the past. And these voices are literally suffocating the life out of you. The voices come from a thousand different directions. Maybe it's a parent who did not love you, a guardian who was supposed to protect you but instead violated you, a close friend who may have broadcast your deepest secret, a boyfriend or a girlfriend who stole your innocence, a relative who destroyed your confidence in anyone that seemingly wanted to help you, an ex-husband or an ex-wife who totally betrayed you. These voices sometimes ring out to you and they come unprompted and unsolicited. They will shock and they will still hurt. But that is what the voices of doubt try to do. Voices of doubt might say, "You are worthless. I wish you had never been born." Or, "What a loser you are. See, I told yourself, you can never do it right." Or, "You've never finished anything you've started. You are going to lose everything. You are just like your father, or you're just like your mother." I hope none of you say that to your children. It happens all of the time. If you listen to these sort of voices for too long, you will start believing them. They say that 90% of people in prison are there because they were told at one time that that is where they would end up one day. Then the subconscious goes to work, especially when you're asleep, to try and make it happen. That seemed to be the case for Yaakov. Every time he turned around, something was trying to drag him down. But I have a remedy for those voices and that sometimes roll around in your head. Let's have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For Elohim gave us a ruach, or a spirit, that produces not timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. We have to start remembering his word. In Micah chapter 3 verse 8, it says, on the other hand, I am full of power by the Ruach of Yehovah, full of justice and full of might, to declare to Yaakov his crime, to Israel his sin. And Zechariah 4 verse 6, it says, then he answered me, this is the word of Yehovah to Zerubbabel, not by force and not by power, but by my Ruach, or spirit, says Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, it says, remember, I have given you, that is each and every one of you sitting here in this room, everyone listening online, I have given you authority. Authority so that you can trample down snakes and scorpions, indeed all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed. This is where we are at the present time. We are fighting the forces of the enemy, that is our tyrannical government. Not just the state, but the federal government is complicit in all of this as well. There are times in your life that you will be needed to do a little preaching to yourself. And there is no better way to do it than by going to the scriptures and speaking them out and preaching to yourself through Yehovah's word. Well, the first thing I want to do is to define doubt. Doubt is truth that is half-dressed, half-hearted, and half-filled. Doubt is simply the truth that's been twisted, deformed, and is walking backwards. Doubt always emanates from its father, the devil, or Hasatan. So you need to remember what Yeshua said about doubt. And it was said in Yochanan chapter 8, verses 44 to 45. Yeshua said, you belong to your father, Satan, or the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. From the start, he was a murderer. He has never stood by the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is speaking in character, because he is a liar. Indeed, he is the inventor of the lie. But as for me, because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. These are Yeshua's words, and this is what we have to stand on. The prevailing thing that can overcome doubt are the words, or is the words, of Yeshua. In Yochanan John 14 and verse 6, it says, Yeshua said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We have Yeshua in our life. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to us in this world. We have Yeshua. We know where we're going. We know who we're going to be with. Now my heart breaks for the woman who tried to burn herself just yesterday in Melbourne because she couldn't cope. For the families that are not coping in any way, because they don't see a hope. For the people that are vaxxed or getting vaxxed and saying, I want to go with all the rest, I don't want to be left behind. They don't understand. They don't understand. Being left behind to be with Yeshua? Not a problem. But they want to go with the vaxxed. The good is too good. The first thing that caused Yaakov to doubt was all the voices of the past. The second thing that he struggled with was believing the good news. It was just too good to be true. In Bereshit 45:26 it says, they told him, Yosef is still alive. He is ruler over the whole land of Egypt. He was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. It was too good to be true. Yaakov's belief was that Yosef was dead, had literally eaten into his spirit in such a way that he could not receive the good news. There are some who hug and coddle their despair for so long that they cannot give it up. We have to let it go. The good news was just too good to be true. It isn't too odd how they doubt will extinguish the fire of your spirit. The adversary is aware of this, and doubt is the one of the most effective, one of his most effective tools. And this is why I always say, in so many situations, if in doubt, leave it out. Don't go there. Don't entertain it. Leave it out completely if there is any doubt. Doubt can only come from the adversary and can only lead you into destruction if you follow the path of doubt. It's amazing the number of D words that can be connected to Hasatan. And inside the English word of devil, if we take the D out, what do we have? Evil. E-V-I-L. Nothing good comes from evil. Overwhelming circumstances become such dictators to our faith. So let us have a look at a few. I'll not give you the scriptures for these because you all know them so many times and it's just not necessary. When Martha said, Adonai, he has been dead for 4 days, speaking of her brother. They told Jairus, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter is already dead. Kepha said, but Yeshua, we fished all night long and we haven't caught a thing. Yeshua just said, try the other side of the boat. The Talmud said to Yeshua, this huge crowd, Rabbi, send them away. All we have is a little bread and a few fish. And the widow told Elisha, the creditor is on the way and I don't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. We know what happened to each and every one of those people. Each of them were rescued. Each of them were healed or raised from the dead. Everyone was fed. And the fish just about sank the boat. But there are a hardy few, who refuse to let their overwhelming circumstances become a dictator to their faith. 7 times Yeshua healed on the Shabbat. He did not let the mundane override the miraculous. Sometimes we need to ignore the protocol to get the prophetic. One man said to Yeshua, if you will just speak, no need to go to the needy, just speak and my servant will be healed. Sometimes you will have to absent yourself from the need to get a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and was healed. Sometimes you have to be willing to be buffeted to get the blessing. The Syrophoenician woman just wanted a crumb of blessing and healing for her daughter. Sometimes we have to be willing to get insulted to get what you need from Yehovah. Bartimaeus was healed because he did not let the crowd stifle his worship. And sometimes you have to worship through the blindness to get the blessing. Sometimes there won't be perfect surroundings to get the miracle. You have to work with what you have to get it. There are some men who peeled back a roof to get a healing. Sometimes you have to be willing to tear some things up to get your needs met. To this day, Adonai Yeshua can still save. He can still deliver. He can still heal. Here are some things to feed doubt when it attacks. In Matityahu, Matthew 28 and verse 18, Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Yeshua has the authority in heaven and on earth to this very day. It's never been taken back. In Matityahu 11:28, "Come to me, all of you who are struggling and are burdened, and I will give you rest." I know that is hard, but if you lay those struggles and those burdens on him and talk to him as your loving Father, he will hear you. It Matityahu 16 and verse 18 says, "I also tell you this, you are Kepha, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it." There is nothing that man can do to us to take what we've been given from Yeshua to us. In Acts chapter 1 verse 11, the men said, "You Galileans, why are you standing staring into space? This Yeshua has been taken away from you into heaven and will come back to you in just the same way as you saw him go into heaven." In Daniel 7:13-14, "I kept watching the night visions, and when I saw coming with the clouds of heaven someone like the Son of Man, he approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. To him was given rulership, glory and a kingdom, so that all peoples," not a few peoples, "all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His rulership is an eternal rulership that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Scriptures clearly indicate to us that if Yehovah has a plan, it will come to pass, regardless of the obstacles or the doubt that stand before you or stand before me. Then we have the wagons from another country. One of the things that will stop our faith is fear. The CCP virus from China, the D variant from India, now the Omicron from South Africa, causes our government to place fear into the psyche of every citizen to take the jab, when it is a lie from the pit of hell. Mandating different areas in the community to take it or lose your job, more fear, and now the TGA has approved the jab for 5 to 11 year olds who have a 99.999% chance of recovery if they get it. In fact, the latest news from the epidemiologists is that if you get the Omicron version, which is very mild, with slight symptoms only, you will have antibodies to protect you for the rest of your life. Yet they fearmonger you and tell you to take something into your bodies that will lower your immune system, leading to an early death. Yes, we will suffer for not taking the jab. Many in the congregation already are. But stand firm. There is no way that Yah wants you to take it. He wants you to trust him. Many of us already have seen loved ones suffer from its effects. I have seen more loved ones suffer the effects of the jab and have never met one person with COVID. That, to me, is heart-wrenching. Yah does have a plan. If we keep our bodies pure, our blood pure, I'm sure he will use us even more because of our faith. Have you ever experienced that rude, gnawing fear that ate up your faith? When you begin to notice fear in its biblical context, there are situations or characteristics that seem to cater for the growth of fear. So let us look at a few scriptures that signify this statement. In Bereshit chapter 15, it says, "Some time later, the word of Yehovah came to Avram in a vision. 'Don't be afraid, Avram. I am your protector. Your reward will be very great.'" Yehovah is our protector. We are no different to Avram. If Yah had said this to Avram, he will say it to us. Avraham had experienced a great victory in battle. Fear will present itself after a great victory. In Bereshit 32:11, it says, "Please rescue me from my brother Esav. I'm afraid of him, afraid he'll come and attack me without regard for mothers or children." Yaakov is about to face his brother for the first time after 20 years has passed. Fear presents itself when you are facing potential conflict. And in Bereshit 35:17, while she was undergoing hard labor, the midwife said to her, "Don't worry, this is also a son for you." Rachel is encouraged not to give in to fear as Benjamin is being born. Fear will present itself when you are birthing something great in your life. Sometimes that is going to outlive you, whatever it is that you are birthing. Yes, Rachel died, but Yaakov had previously spoken that whoever had taken Laban's idols must die. Do you remember that? Which we read in the scriptures 2 weeks ago. Yehovah allowed Rachel's death to happen because of her sin and her covering it up, which is lying and not admitting that she had them. She sat on her camel and on top of the idols when Laban looks for them. So it was expected that Rachel would die because Yaakov had professed those words. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moshe answered the people, "Stop being fearful. Remain steady and you will see how Yehovah is going to save you. He will do it today. Today you have seen the Egyptians, but you will never see them again." Moshe told the children of Israel not to fear at the Sea of Suf. The Egyptians were pursuing them from behind. They were going to destroy them, and the Sea of Suf was in front of them. Fear will present itself when you're about to cross over into Yah's greater purpose for your life. Fear, as you all know, I've said it time and time again, is false evidence appearing real, although it can feel very real to us at the time. We just have to let our faith rise up and trust in Yah to overcome the fear. Shemot chapter 20, verse 20. Moshe answered the people, "Don't be afraid, because Elohim has come only to test you and make you fear him, so that you won't commit sins." Again, Moshe instructs the children of Israel not to fear. Fear will present itself when Yah is about to test, or in some versions, prove you. Maybe what we are going through at the moment is a test. Are we going to be like some people and cave and take that jab? Or are we going to stand firm and we're going to allow Yah to see if we can stand by him and trust him for what is about to happen in the future? I really believe that this is a test. In Yehoshua, Joshua chapter 10, verse 8, Yehovah said to Yehoshua, "Don't be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of their men will stand against you." If he can do it for Yehoshua, he can do it for us. Yehoshua summons the people to not fear the Emori who are gathering against them. Fear will present itself when you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances. And in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to bring you back again into fear. On the contrary, you received the Ruach, the Spirit, who makes us sons, and by whose power we cry out, Abba, that is, dear Father. Shaul mentions a spirit of bondage that will create fear. It is not the will of Yah for a believer to be struck with a constant state of fear in their lives. But the wagons are on their way. In Bereshit 45:21 today, we read, the sons of Israel acted accordingly, and Yosef gave them wagons as Paro had ordered, and gave them provisions for their journey. If the wagons had not been sent, Yaakov and all his family could never have crossed the wilderness and the desert to go to the palace. Yosef knew exactly what to pack to sustain them. These men are for the journey they were going to take, for their desert experience. Many of us could be in a desert experience at this very moment. Even if Yaakov did not buy into the words of the messengers, when he saw the wagons, he could believe that Joseph was alive. It was the wagons that convinced him. The first sign of Yosef was a bloody coat, and it fooled Yaakov. The second sign of Yosef was wagons full of goods, and it encouraged him. The first sign rattled Yaakov. The second sign restored him. How the enemy would love for you to stop short at the first sign. The first sign of trouble can paralyze you, but the second sign of blessing can redeem you. The first sign of doubt can cripple you, but the second sign of blessing can anoint you. The first sign of disaster can suffocate you, but the second sign of blessing can exalt you. The first sign of difficulty can ruin you, but the second sign of provision can breathe life into your being. I'm sure that there are many people listening to my words at the moment can verify what I am saying. If we are obedient to Yehovah and his Torah, the blessings will come. I suppose I'm proof of that. I've been witnessing it for many, many years. You can stop at the first sign, but you have to look for the second sign. Persistent faith will not be defeated by what it can see, because we walk by faith and not by sight. The reason that Yaakov doubted the message was because he doubted the messengers. The sight of Yosef's wagons convinced him. There are accounts of this sort of thing in the miracles. Adonai Yeshua, help my unbelief. How many times have we said that? Yosef did not give his brothers what they deserved. This is what the way in how it works with Yah as well. We get from him far more than we ever deserve. Then we read, the wagons are loaded. They're not just coming, they're loaded. Not only are the wagons on their way, they are loaded, full of goodies. In Bereshit 45:23, it says, likewise to his father he sent 10 donkeys loaded with the finest goods Egypt produced, as well as 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread and food for his father to eat on the return journey. Can you imagine what it must have been like for old Yaakov? Now, he's 130 years old at this stage. His country has been starving under the wretched hand of the famine. There has been zero growth of crops, has not rained in ages, and the land is stifling hot. It's in the hottest part of the day, and the heat and the silence are prevailing across the land. Egypt during that time was at the height of civilization. The construction of Paro had brought great notoriety to the land. His kingdom had been wildly successful and the tributes had come in. India had sent on ships and barges its rich frankincense, sharp cinnamon, gleaming diamonds and ivory treasures. Syria sent its luxuries of purple and silk, and Greece had corralled its finest horses in the world and sent them to Egypt. So when Yosef determined to send the wagons back to his father, nothing was spared. He loaded them with corn, he packed the wagons with bread, he added meat to the wagons, he made arrangements for clothing to be carried. Wagon after wagon rolled out of the palace grounds of Egypt. They were heading out on a rescue mission. Let me assure you, the enemy cannot stop the saving relief of Yehovah. He is in control. The wagons are going to take you to the palace. I don't know whether this palace is going to be on earth or it's going to be in heaven, but I know that they are taking us to the palace. In Bereshit, Genesis 45, 27 to 28, it says, "So they reported to him everything Yosef had said to them. But it was only when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent to carry him that the spirit of Yaakov, their father, began to revive. Israel said, 'Enough. My son Yosef is still alive. I must go and see him before I die.'" Yaakov had spent years grieving his son, whom he believed to have been killed by a wild animal. When he heard the words that Yosef was alive, when he saw the wagons of relief, his whole demeanor changed and his spirit revived. Sometimes more than anything, that is what we need when we get into the house of Yah. We need to see his mighty works and his excellent greatness. Then our spirits are revived. I try and do that with my messages to help you see what Yah can do for you. The wagons were on the way. They were loaded. But that was not all. The wagons are going to take them to the palace. Just as these wagons were coming back from the palace, they were going to take Yaakov and his family back to the palace. These wagons were not just a one-time deposit. These wagons would not allow their resources to dwindle down to nothing and leave them in the famine. These wagons were not just bringing relief, but they were also there to rescue. Another consideration with these wagons was that they weren't just bringing good things, but they were also bringing good news. That is a magnificent thing about the way Yehovah works. Not only will he bring relief in your situation, he is going to pull you out of it and take you out of your famine-ridden land to the palace. Let me conclude with the promises of Yah. I have many books in my library, but there are two that I have that list all the promises of Yah for virtually every situation in life, together with the scriptures that go along with these promises. So they're literally loaded with promises of what Yah can do for you if only you trust in him. He will do it. Can I ask of you, give Yah time. Even when the knife is flashing in the air, you will see the ram in the bushes. You just have to give him time. Give Yah time, even when Paro's armies are on Israel's heels. A path through the water will suddenly be opened up. We don't know what that path is at this stage, but I believe it will be opened up. Give Yah time. Even when the bed of the brooks is dry, Eliyahu will hear a guiding voice. Have you listened to the small, still voice of Yah? Take time each day to listen to what he wants to say for you. You must give Yah time. The wagons are on the way. He will provide a way out for you no matter what your circumstances, and I know that they are very dire for some at this very moment. But please, just give Yah time. I do believe with all my heart that Yah hears our prayers. He knows your situation. He knows everyone's situation. Remember Eov or Job, who lost everything, his children, everything. And it was all restored to him 3 times more than he had previously. We don't know what Yah has in store for us in the future. We just need to trust him. We have to keep standing on his word and believe that the wagons are on the way to rescue us from this tyrannical government and its mandates at this time. We know what is happening is criminal, but we need to stand firm in our faith. Nobody or anything can rob us of that. It is our faith. Your faith is your faith. My faith is my faith. No one can take it away from you unless you allow them to. We may not see it at the moment, but be assured, the wagons are coming and Yehovah is in control. Are there any questions? Come on over.
So Raquel, when she sat on the idols,
mm-hmm.
and she committed that sin, and she obviously didn't repent.
No, okay. She didn't repent.
Yeah. So she died without repenting.
Yep.
So that means she has no opportunity to repent when she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore she goes where the Lord puts.
That's right, and you notice that she wasn't buried in the Machpelah cave. She was buried at Beit Lechem. She didn't go with the rest of the family into the Machpelah cave.
So sin draws us to the death and the everlasting death as well.
That's right.
And that goes for everybody.
It goes for everyone.
That's all right, I just want to make that point.
Simple lie. She sat on the idols and lied. I suppose lying is something I don't handle very well. I don't cope with lying at all. Even sins of omission to me are lying. Because, you know, and there's a consequence. Raquel is a very good example of it. Any other questions? We might move on to the remembrance service.